Hi, this is Bill from The Urge. You are listening to Rock Paper Podcast with Chris and Shane.
Hey everybody, it's Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. I'm sitting down tonight. I got a special guest, Alex Berg, filling in for Chris.
What's going on? Good to be back. How you doing, Shane?
Yeah, good to see you again, man.
Likewise.
And our guest this evening is Bill Ryder of The Urge and El Monstero.
Woo! So
welcome to the show.
Oh, well, it's great to be here. How you doing?
Yeah, man. I was telling Alex on the way down, like we had Steve on like one of our early episodes, and then we ended up getting Jerry a little while later.
Yeah.
So then it kind of came a mission to like get the whole band.
Nice.
You know, and so
knock them out one after the other.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
One at a time.
So yeah, man, I'm excited that we finally got this to work out. It's it's exciting. So
yeah,
welcome.
I'm happy to be here.
Is you ever doing any of these podcasts before?
I have not.
Yeah.
First one.
Nice. Yeah. Pop in the chair.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something, you know, we started this, me and Chris, back in June, and I just made a mess.
Oh, that's all right.
You got that thing filled, like, all the way to the top, dude.
There you go.
Speaking of making a...
There's more just comes right out.
Would you like a glass or a straw?
Maybe a sippy cup.
We got a water fail here, people.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. All right. I'm all better now.
Fuck it.
Yeah. So when I was when I went to Chicago a week ago, and I stopped at a station, and I got a bottle of water, and on there it said something like, it was probably same thing, right? I make a splash wherever I go, right?
Yeah.
There. And like,
it's legit.
I was like, I just kind of laughed. I was like, I just didn't really think anything of it. And then I opened the cap and it spills all over me. And I'm like, oh, no wonder they says that on there. So they fill it to the brim.
Yeah, you're getting your money's worth.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, enough about my water messes. So anyway, we got two Urge dates coming up. May 8th in Springfield, Missouri at the Outland Ballroom. And May 9th, Lawrence, Kansas at the Granada Theater. So yeah, you can come out and see Bill with the Urge.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, those
it's going to be great. We haven't been to Lawrence in a very long time. So.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right. Well, we have actually. We played Springfield last April-ish, I think. Mm-hmm. Like almost a year ago. And we had a blast. So I can't wait to get back there. But we have not been to Lawrence, Kansas in many moons.
Yeah,
so sure that's going to be cool.
I'm sure the fans are excited to rock with you guys on the road.
For sure.
There. Yeah. And then you also, you said we play with El Monstero, and you guys talking summer show again?
Oh yeah, for sure. Maybe even more than one. None of that's really been decided, we're definitely playing the summer. Might do maybe a road date this summer as well, but nothing is set in stone yet. But we're still trying to figure that out. It's hard to. It's a hard conglomeration of people to wrangle. So that's.
Yeah,
that's
the
only problem.
We same thing. Me and Alex talking on the way down about how he hasn't been able to make a show yet. And I was telling him how incredible.
Come check it out.
And it's not even. I mean, the band itself sounds fantastic, but it's like you said, it's the people behind the scenes that make that show. And all the stage theatrics and stuff and.
It's like a rock opera kind of thing.
It is. Do you like Pink Floyd?
Yeah, I love Pink Floyd.
Oh, dude, then you have to come see it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think even if you didn't like Pink Floyd, you should probably come and see it. But,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty awesome.
I mean,
we're all very proud of it. I'm honored to be a part of it. It's a fun time.
It's almost like a Cirque du Soleil kind of show.
Exactly. And we have aerialists and all that kind of stuff, so we're trying to add more of that and more theatrical elements.
Yeah, he was telling me about the chopper that comes down. You guys did a show, I think it was at Horizon.
We've done three of them, I think, where we used an actual live helicopter.
That's awesome.
And the third time, many local constabulary and people of note and influence were not entirely thrilled with that idea. So that's why we didn't do it last time. So yeah. that might be a thing in the past. Who knows? We'll have to see. Yeah.
Right.
We'll have to see what happens.
I think...
But yeah, it was funny. Well, you know, people... It's funny when you think about it. People, there are people in this world who just own helicopters.
Yeah.
And also like Pink Floyd.
You just bring that thing by? Just
say, yeah, would you mind doing a... taking a spin around?
On the way home, you know, yeah. Of course.
Literally, that's what I mean. One guy did it for... I think we paid for his gas, and he got tickets to the show. And that was... Then he flew the helicopter around. And then
fair trade.
Yeah, then he landed and came to the show.
That's so awesome.
Cool. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, we had Jimmy Griffin on a while back also, and he was telling us some stuff about, a story about trying to, like, he had an idea, they're always looking to kind of make something new and bigger and better and all this, and it was something about an idea, like, he wanted to, like, throw, like, some body drop or something, like a dummy or something off the stage. Or
right,
something
we talked about.
And then they were no, we can't, you know, give people heart attacks. The thing.
Right.
Then,
well, we actually had, there was at one point an idea of actually, well, no, you know what? I'm saving that because Kevin Gagnepain will say, I've been working on that for 2 months. Why did you tell people we were going to do that?
So, no spoilers.
You never know. Yeah. So you never know, especially with Kevin. You never know. He might pull something off. But
save it for off the mic.
I will save it.
But that's the thing. I mean, when you know, compared to the pageant and in Verizon, I mean, it, you know, it's kind of tough to top yourself with after helicopters and things. It's kind of always getting something to.
Well, which we are definitely up for trying.
Yeah.
And I think the audaciousness of the helicopter gag was what people reacted to, just because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure it out. We'll do something.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. You're a local guy. You grew up here in St. Louis, right?
I grew up in St. Peter's, actually. I moved to St. Louis when I was 19, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah-ish, something like that.
Well, we grew up in Wentzville.
Oh, no kidding.
That's where we lived out. So, Wentzville, O'Fallon.
Right on.
So.
Yeah, I lived right off of Mexico, basically. Yeah. Yeah, how much of your listenership will give a shit about this conversation?
Zero.
I live right in Mexico and Salt Lake.
Basically. Yeah, okay, yeah.
That's cool.
Your neighbors.
That's the whole kind of the backbone of the show is the fact that we try to support local the best we can with local music and talent and comedians, and it's just fun to know that there's all these super talented people that live in our neighborhood. You know, it's like, we don't have to, there's all these major acts that come through and stuff, but I mean, all these people are all real people that all live in our neighborhoods too and stuff, so.
Yeah. We should support them both.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Not steal their shit.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
Give you this rash of van break-ins that's happening.
Oh, man, I saw you,
just people getting their shit stolen all the time.
Yeah, I don't know what
nobody will ever come here. One day it's going to be, it'll just be St. Louis acts because nobody will come.
Yeah, I don't get why.
That's got to be a coordinated thing. Yeah. Like people, there must be somebody going, hey, I know these guys are staying at this hotel. Here's where the van's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's almost be like a reputation now. Like St. Louis is the
For sure.
And yeah, they think it's a war zone down here.
Yeah, well, that too.
Right. I mean, we have enough trouble with all the other mess, but it's like, for some reason, we've developed a reputation for people getting their vans broken into, and it's like that's
seems like it happens at least once a month.
Mm-hmm. And it's where like
somebody, you know,
if you're gonna take from if you're gonna steal from somebody, like why are you gonna steal from struggling musicians that are on the road? It's like
what's the saying? Don't steal my wallet, don't steal my guitar, something like that.
Well, it's like, I mean, I don't know, just. Take from somebody that's not going to care or really notice. I mean, it's like, or if you're going to do it, I'm just saying, don't.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't steal.
Yeah, don't steal. Right. Yeah, that's
the main lesson.
Never.
Yeah. And you joined, what, like 93? You were somewhere in there, joined the Urge?
September of 92. I remember it very vividly. So, I don't know if. I was a sophomore in college. No, I would have just started my junior year of college, and I was in a not very good band and I played. I was the part that wasn't all that good. Like, the drummer and the bass player and the guitar player were okay. I was pretty terrible. But I was a good saxophone player, and so my band actually played after the Urge at a party. Like, they played, the Urge played outside on like a flatbed truck or whatever. My terrible band played, like, you know, downstairs in the corner with, you know, two tiny speakers.
Yeah.
And so I don't remember how the conversation came up, but Stevie was like, oh, hey, you play saxophone? Yeah. And they didn't have a saxophone player at the time, and he said, well, you want to come up and do a song? So I got up on the very last tune and just started to kind of go, you know, tried to play along with what Sarge and Tony Albano on trumpet was playing at the time. I was just trying to pick up the part. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, okay, great, this is awesome, nice job. And we walked off the back of the flatbed truck, and Steve goes, hey, man, you want a job? I said, oh, yeah, I'd love to, absolutely. And he said, well, here, call, you know, and he gave him our manager's card at the time, or gave it to me, rather than. He said, well, call this number next week. And I said, well, where are you going to be tomorrow? And he said, Springfield. I went to school in Columbia. And I go, well, cool. Well, I'll see you there. So I went to Springfield the next morning, or the next afternoon, and went to the club. It was called the Regency. And played with the Urge there again. And it just so happened that that's where my sister went to college. And my mom was visiting my sister. So I called them both and I said, hey, come on down. We're... you know, I'm playing with this band. You should come and see them. They're great. Come on down. And so I played the show, and I walked off stage and walked right up to my mom and said, Mom, I'm dropping out of school. that was Saturday, and then Sunday we drove back to Columbia, and then Monday I dropped out of school.
Huh.
So yeah. That was, yeah. So 20... Wait, how long is that ago? I don't math.
Yeah, that was like 22.
Yeah, 23 years ago?
Yeah, 23.
Yeah. So it was a long time ago.
Yeah. I don't know. I got buddies, you know, that were around in some of the earlier days, and like tell me stories of like Mississippi Nights and things like that. And I don't know. I kind of got on with a little later with the Urge. I can't remember what year I really started, but. I've been trying to make up for it recent years. I've been at like all the pageant shows every time you guys are there.
And, nice. Well, thanks.
And then one of the highlights for me is I did that VIP thing with you guys backstage.
Yeah, right.
And that was a really cool moment to be able to hang with you guys and kind of a whole different atmosphere. Yeah. Just be able to hang out backstage.
That's a lot of fun. There's very little doubt that we'll do that again. I'm sure every time we play the pageant, we'll do something like that. It is cool just to...
Yeah, it's a neat experience. Yeah. And then especially, you know, one of your favorite bands to have that opportunity to hang out like that. So.
Yeah. Well, we hate the... like, I don't even know if there's a word for it. Like, the kind of regimented where you... like sit on a side of a table and everybody walks in a line and you just hand the thing, you know, here, sign, you know.
Sure.
It's like, well, that's not, that not only it defeats the purpose entirely of really like engaging with people, but it's also just kind of a drag. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that if I was going to go see whoever and shuffle. It's like, so at least we try and treat it more like a, you know, like we're all in the same party, and you know, so then we just kind of move around and chat with everybody. That's the idea.
Yeah.
We were in Rolla for St. Patrick's Day weekend, and they had set up some sort of meet and greet thing that they were bringing. You know, they had the tables and the, you know, like there was a Sharpie in front of each chair and all that jazz. And we're like, we're not doing that. Yeah. Just bring them in. Come on, Ed. Like, come on in. Mm-hmm. We'll hang around and talk for a bit. So
yeah.
It's much cooler than, and not to knock. Certainly, what we're doing is a smaller scale. So obviously, if you have, you couldn't do that if you had 300 people show up.
Yeah.
But if you only have 16 people show up, it's a much different story.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember that night. I had a cool conversation with Carl, and that's the first I ever got to really talk with him. And so it was, you know, it's just a. It's interesting.
It's fun.
You know, a totally different experience from you know, becoming you know, from just being out in the audience to actually getting to engage with you guys in a conversation. So yeah. Anyway, that's
It's fun. Yeah, we're definitely going to do it again without a doubt.
So you you said we talked about the starting with the urge there those nights. But is this like you rock ska stuff? Like, is this something that you know you enjoyed as a before you started with the band? And
well, I mean, I love reggae music. Yeah. That's like, I mean, really, if I was, you know, if you say, oh, what's your favorite band? I'd say, you know, Radiohead,
yeah,
or you know, The Police, or something. You know, but when you know, if I'm going to pick up my iPod right now and put something on, it's probably going to be reggae. So that's where that was my my kind of entry into it. Because really, other than the English beat, I hadn't heard of, you know, like, and I wouldn't, you know, and you wouldn't even technically call that ska, but like, I hadn't heard of like the Specials or, you know, and I heard and I knew who Madness were, but not really anything beyond the single. So, you know, it was definitely an education. When I first met Carl and Steve, that was I started listening to things that I had never really considered before, and actually the. My, you know, my love for like heavy music, like Helmet or Pantera, is completely due to me meeting Steve Carl and Pat Malachek. I was like, they, you know, that was before that. I didn't really listen to music like that, but they played. You know, what was it? What's the name of it? Vulgar Display of Power, I think. I was like, what is this? Right. I was like, oh my god, that's amazing. So yeah. That was really, you know, I mostly listened to. Jazz and reggae music when I was, you know, like in my late high school, kind of early college, yeah. And so it was a real eye opener, you know. Yeah. And I had literally just heard of Fishbone, say for instance, you know, when Reality My Surroundings came out, I was late to the party on that one too. So
yeah,
and that all happened about the same time. When did Reality come out?
That's
90. Something like that.
That's probably same for me. Like that whole, you know, not necessarily the same kind of time frame. Like for me, like I really got in heavily in music like after school. Like I didn't really have growing up. I was more I listened to my parents' stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so like
same for me.
Everybody, I think that's true. I really think that's true.
But
for everybody,
You know, after high school and things, I really started kind of exploring and getting to. Kind of discover a lot more new stuff to, you know, some of those stuff was much older, but it's new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like falling in love with some really great records. And, but yeah, I mean, it's just a cool experience to start discovering these so much great new music like that.
And yeah.
Kind of just
the first time you hear something that you've never heard before that you connect with on either an emotional or intellectual level is like kind of the kind of thing that you can't really trade for any. I mean, that's like, it's its own experience in my opinion. I think that's, it's one of the greatest things in the world where you just go, I get it. Whatever's happening here, I understand it.
Yeah.
And I love that feeling.
That's how it was for me the night I learned to limp with the biscuit, is what they were saying. Like, I was riding around with my friends. I was listening to KC95, like, all the time. And they're like, oh, hey, Bird, you're about to limp with the biscuit. And then I'm like, I love it.
Nice.
Bought chocolate starfish and hot dog flare water next day. That's crazy what an effect it has on you.
Yep, yeah, love for it. Sure.
But yeah, that's like one of my favorite things about The Urge is the fact that you guys kind of was a giant blender of it all. Like, you know, there you got your kind of heavier record or songs in there, and then you got your, you know, you guys even do the Bob Marley covers.
Yeah.
So you got your, you know, straightforward reggae kind of stuff, and then you got, you know, some more ska kind of with the horns and stuff. And so it's just kind of fun to know how much different influences kind of packed in there.
Yeah, it's my favorite part of everything that we do is that it's kind of, it's hard to pigeonhole and you can see where the influences are coming from, but it's kind of sounds unmistakably like us, and I'm really proud of it, especially Galvanized. I think we kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Because perfected isn't the word. There's no such thing. But like, you know, really took a step forward as far as being able to combine and separate some of those influences. Because, you know, some of those songs are a lot more straightforward than others, where as far as the genres that are being combined and things like that. So, we love, there's literally, you can't, and we say this all the time, but you can't, it's impossible to pinpoint what is, you know, like me and Steve, say for instance, are huge Prince fans. you know, and like Carl is like way into, like Carl loves like dubstep and Skrillex and all that jazz, and like John is more, you know, John loves like King's X, you know, I mean, like John, you know, John's more of a definitely more of a rock dude than say I am. So, you know, but they're all things that we can agree on. They're all unifiers, like the Clash or the Police or Bad Brains or Fishbone, and then those are bands that manage to meld a bunch of styles and put them together. So, so it's if you could ask, we could combine, you know, take two dudes, you know, two different guys in the band and put them together, and they'd end up talking about somebody completely different.
Sure.
So that's what's pretty cool about it. We're working on this year is the 20th anniversary of Receiving to Get the Flavor, so we're working on some little things to put out. Just for the hell of it, basically. And one of them is shaping up to be just a covers thing, you know, just for giggles.
Okay.
And nice. It's the only place. It's probably the only place you're going to find Peter Gabriel and Public Enemy listed together.
Oh wow!
Unless it's in an alphabetical list of some kind. Right. So I mean, we were just throwing out things of like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to do this? And we just started throwing out songs and. You know, we're starting to mess with them, and it's kind of fun. Nice.
That sounds like such a blast.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's fun to get, because John has a studio in his house, and we just go out there, and we just kind of start, you know, just start playing. And sometimes, you know, we've come up with a bunch of new, just original music, and then we started talking about the idea of doing the covers thing, and so it's a lot of fun. And we might do a performance of just Receiving Get the Flavor at some point, you know, stuff like that. So we're going to try and do some things this year. To commemorate it. So
one thing I'm a big fan of, like when you're doing like live singing and stuff like that, be it like doing a rock band or karaoke, like I do a lot of karaoke, I DJ karaoke.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So like I'll those instrumentals that they have, the bridges that you call them, you know, you want to like, instead of just sitting there looking all awkward waiting for the words to pop back up, you want to try and maybe do something. I like try to find another song that you can blend with it.
Hey, boy.
And I like I nice. Found out, man, that you can do like I do "So What You Want" by the Beastie Boys a lot, and then when I'm waiting for the words to pop back up, I'll be like, "Strumming my pain with a finger." You know, you can get like some Fugees in there.
That's
too.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, or you can do "Paul Revere" by Beastie Boys while you're waiting for the words to pop back up. You can be like, "Take my money, I'm a need." Do some
Is it that you're DJing karaoke?
Oh, it's a place in Cottleville called Joe's Fish Street Pub.
Okay.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know where Joe's Fifth Street Pub is, but I know where Cottleville is.
The basement of Manita's Meat Market. It's downtown Cottleville.
Okay. Downtown Cottleville.
Yeah, a little... That's what they say. I'm like, it's only downtown.
All right, well, I'm coming.
Oh, cool. All right.
I got some ideas. I got some mashups for you.
Yeah, mashups are good times, man.
you said you galvanized. That's a great record, man.
Thank you.
I really dig it. I think... you know, for you know, some people made a big thing about it was your guys' first album in 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's one of the, like, what I notice is, like, for, I mean, anybody else that would take a step away for, you know, not that you guys weren't performing, but yeah, like not putting out the new record, but for you know, you guys not to put out new material in that long, and then to come back with this album, and it sounds exactly like you guys never left. You know, it's like that. For me, like that, it feels, you know, right in line with the rest of the, you know, if you listen to the albums and stuff. So
thanks, I agree. Yeah,
I mean, it's really a great record, and you guys were getting some. You had Let's Say Yeah and Out on the Fringe. Or those are
those
singles.
And I think that technically the single now is called Hollywood Ending.
Oh, okay,
You know what that means in this day and age? I don't know. We're not, you know. We're not, you know, knocking on radio stations' doors or anything like that. So, sure. But that is the song that we're kind of concentrating on. We will eventually someday have a video for it.
Mm-hmm.
It has been shot and half edited, so we're working on that. That's kind of what our little stumbling block here now is, just only we don't have 24 hours a day to devote to it. Because if we did, we would have a new album up probably by this point. But really, we had done... Well, we had performed a few times in the hiatus, or whatever you want to call it, but even within that time, we had actually gotten together and and started writing new music for different things. Mm-hmm. We did a good portion of the soundtrack for an independent movie that we shot here in St. Louis called Say Goodnight by our friend David Von Allman, who written and directed by. And we got together for like months and just started just coming up with little bits of music. You know, we were just, I mean, I have probably 5 or 6 hours of stuff that, I mean, that we just put down. We were like, oh, we're going to jam on this and here's what the scene's about and go. And so I think things like that helped maintain kind of our cohesion, for lack mm-hmm. of a better word. Like when we first started getting together to write Galvanize, I don't think it was as big of a as a disconnect as even we expected that it might be. I mean, because we were still kind of on the same wavelength in a lot of ways, and a lot of those little small projects that had happened over those years helped, I think. And yeah, and some of it you can actually hear on. There is a good friend of ours, Scott Adderton, who directed our live DVD for All the Way Live, rather. Or is it called Live and Direct? Oh, shoot.
Yeah,
All the Way Live is the DVD, right?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Because there was like two different...
Right, yeah. One was called Live and Direct, yeah. And one was called All the Way Live.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Anyway, we'll edit that part.
Yeah.
Directed by Scott Adderton.
Yeah.
He does a lot of work for Happy Madison Productions and Adam Sandler.
Nice.
And they did an HBO kind of 15-minute special on, I want to say it was Click, right? Is that the movie where he finds the magical remote control?
Yeah.
And it was on the TV, and I was in here cooking dinner, and I heard, because he just, you know, he would call us, and we'd go, oh, here you go. You can use this little clip of music. And I could hear it. And I went, oh, that sounds familiar. And I went in there, and not only was it a little piece of music from the soundtrack session, but I was actually playing drums and John was playing keyboards.
Huh. Oh,
wow. And I was like, oh, there it is, cool.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean that kind of. So we love doing stuff like that, and
very cool.
You know, you never know. Maybe one day when we're all old and gray, we'll put them all out because it's just. I mean, we actually had a. I think Sarge put up a MySpace page for the band, quote, and it was called The Good Cooks, and I think there were like 3 or 4 of these little bits of jams on there, but that was, you know, that was, when was MySpace?
Well, that's what's great, there's all that stuff still there, though.
Like, oh, yeah.
We had a bunch of buddies that played in, you know, high school bands, and they put out some recordings in there, and they're on their MySpace,
yeah.
And like, I just went back and
really
and listened to a bunch of them on there.
All that stuff's still there.
Yeah,
like, I haven't checked those band pages.
Like, yeah, no, I might have to go look.
That's tripping.
Out to Sea,
Into the Sea,
or Into the Sea.
Yeah,
for Chris's band and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we've had a lot of discussions. With
oh man, I'm gonna check that out. That's awesome.
I mean the music's there. The functionality of the site is awful. Like,
yeah,
I don't know how, like, it's still even, like, I mean, how it can be that bad.
Didn't they didn't they have a thing where, like, all right, Facebook, kiss my ass, we're coming back, and then didn't they redesign it and all this stuff?
Yeah, but it looks confusing as hell, I think.
I heard, like, Timberlake bought it, and, like, Justin Timberlake was gonna, like, you know, try to relaunch it as, like, a music platform, and all this stuff, and try to bring it back.
Yeah.
Was it Timberlake? I thought it was Jack Black.
I'm pretty sure it was Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, I don't know Jack. Jack Black and Justin Timberlake are in two separate buckets.
I've never seen this ad.
As an investor, I think.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake's in a slightly different tier. All
right.
I just don't think an ad saying that Jack's like, I'm going to take over MySpace. Timberlake could have done it. I don't know. I quit following MySpace a long time ago.
Sure. But
maybe it was Jack White.
Yeah. There you go.
But he's involved in that stuff now, that Tidal. I don't know if you heard anything
about it. Yeah, I saw it. I saw that, didn't they do the big dumb press conference recently?
Yeah.
Jay-Z like sent out an email to his contact list and just, you know, those are the people that showed up. Oh, hey, look.
Yeah.
Kanye's here. Madonna's here.
Yeah.
Chris Martin's here.
I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens with all that, but it's...
I don't know if like having a bunch of millionaires bitch about it was the answer to that question, you know? And like, really the, I don't know. I'm not a Spotify guy. Like, it's too, to me, like, if you have access to just every single thing in the world, then I think it's, or at least for me anyway, it's more difficult to genuinely concentrate on what it is you're looking for or even into. I'm sure everybody has these friends that have, like, back in the day when, well, I don't know how old everybody is, but back in the day when you had a CD binder, you know, like, that was what you drove around and you had the 100 discs and a thing.
The house without that thing.
Yeah, right. But you had friends who would have, like, they had, you know, I kind of, how do I put this? Because I don't mean to be a dick, but, well, you know, because you say, oh, I like everything.
Yeah.
To me means, well, you don't really like anything. Like, you can't listen to, like, Garth Brooks and, like, Aphex Twin and say, oh, well, these both, I like both of these things. Yeah. Like, in this, because, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it's possible to just listen to everything and then really find something that you're going to connect with. Like I said earlier, emotionally or intellectually, I don't think it's possible. I could be totally wrong, but...
I mean, I feel like, I mean, there's things that move me more, like, you know, I mean, particularly, but like, but I do listen to, I mean, I got...
Oh, yeah, see, I don't want
to... Yeah, I don't like... For me, though, it's like I break it down more like individually, like as you know, there's certain artists in country that I like, there's certain artists in metal and in funk or whatever it is. But like to say like I like all country music or all rock music, whatever, you know, no, there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of junk in there.
Oh, and I didn't, I didn't even mean to separate that by genre. Yeah. It's just there's like, you know, what was the guy that I was hanging out with? You know, he had like Quad City Deep. And you know, I mean, it was I don't know, it was like the worst examples of both of the things.
Yeah.
And that certainly doesn't apply to Aphex Twin or Garth Brooks, but I was, you know, it was just like I couldn't find any through point for that, for this collection of stuff. And and this was in the early days of Napster too, so he didn't buy a single note of it.
Yeah.
You know, he just
download
it. It was like a hoarder. You're like a hoarder at that point. You just download everything and burn it on a CD, and now you have it.
Mm-hmm.
but the thing with for me though, I mean, I don't know, granted, this is only from my experience, but like with Spotify, like I feel like at least if you're able to listen to all that stuff, you know. I would hope that people like would go out and support the ones that they like. It's like, so I try to like look at like, you know, maybe the glass half full VP of it, like where like if maybe somebody got this, like I got a good buddy, Patrick Sweeney, who's a talented blues rock guy. He's done some, Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys used to be in Patrick's band.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Before Black Keys, and like, and so he gets, and Dan Auerbach produced his album.
Awesome.
And so he kind of gets, he's actually become quite successful through Pandora because of like their algorithm or whatever. He kind of gets looped in with Black Keys songs.
Oh, yeah. That helps. Yeah.
So he's got a song called Them Shoes that, you know, became a big hit for him. And it was all through, like, he's told the story a bunch of times, and like that he was about done playing with, you know, like he was it was almost out of the set list and stuff, and like, and then all of a sudden he starts getting in this Pandora, and now people are showing up at his shows for that one song, like they've heard that song, and now they want to, you know, that's, and that song outsells his entire catalog of everything else he's got, like, so now he has to play it, now he said he has to save, you know, it's like one of his closers.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's the encore. Yeah, fake encore song.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, believe me, I don't mean to suggest that there's. It's my personal hang up. I can't like, if you have access to everything, I can't. I'm like,
Yeah.
You know. So, but yeah, I yeah. No, I didn't mean to. I don't mean to say, you know, boo Spotify.
Oh yeah.
But I just personally can't get. And it's because I'm old. You know, it is. It really is. I just can't. Yo, Carl loves Spotify.
Sure.
Carl's, that's his thing. I'm like, oh, that's just everything. Yeah. And he actually, it's interesting, he used the word curate, which I thought was a really interesting, like, kind of choice of phrase. He's like, well, you're the kind of person that is more interested in curating your personal collection of music than just having everything. Like, that, mm-hmm. like each little choice of yours means something to you. And I was like, oh, that's okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
But
I would kind of agree with that. Like, there's a... I've got a big collection of records that I've, you know, and I kind of my plan is to someday give them to my kid, you know, eventually,
nice.
Or whatever, you know,
nice.
I've been going through time now collecting all these records but they all mean something to me, you know, it's like, so I don't want to, it's not just, I bought it because it was the popular one of the week or whatever, dude. I try to like collect these records that have personal meaning to me,
nice.
Like, and hopefully they'll mean something to.
Oh well, without it, they will.
Yeah.
They will by default.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have it. They don't have an option to not be.
I mean, I don't even
get them turned on.
Yeah, because like these were my dad's. That's
right.
Already, that automatically you go, oh, there it is.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I don't have children yet, but that's the whole.
Yes, have them grow, listen to them.
Yeah.
That's what's. I mean, that's my plan. Like if I have kids, like. Yeah. We're gonna put some Urge and 311 in their crib.
Wait until there's a certain cutoff age.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But man, that'd be so cool. I just got this vision of taking like my 5-year-old daughter to like an Urge or 311 concert and just
what did I see?
Sit in the seats and just have fun.
What did I see that somebody said they were trying to figure out a way to tell their kids what PTMFUS meant. And if like I don't remember what the T stood for, but MFUS stood for Mommy's Favorite Urge Song. And they would sing parts real loud when they got to that part in the song, so that the kid would think, oh, that's what that means. Which was pretty funny.
Yeah.
How did that all start? I never got like the story on where and when that started.
That was entirely Steve's. That was Steve Ewing.
That was his.
And it's actually, if you look, it might be. It might be on the... there's a sticker covering this.
Yeah.
There it is. See right there at the bottom? I'm holding up the cover of Too Much Stereo.
Okay.
You see it right there in the very faint lettering?
Oh, okay.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So it's in the lower right-hand corner of the back cover of Too Much Stereo. And Steve just said... It was all Steve's idea. He just was like, hey, put that on the back. Put that in the corner.
Wow.
That's like.
And we were like, what in the hell is that? He said, it stands for play that motherfucking Urge shit. And we're like, okay. Cool. So then he started saying it when the record came out, and that's just I don't know what his inspiration was for that or what, but that was all his ideas, the way I remember it anyway.
Just pull it out of thin air.
Yeah. That's it's funny, isn't it?
That's cool, yeah.
That was pretty cool. The one of the last shows at the pageant you guys just did, you had like the 6 screens and like had the letters on there, and then like it had a Mario Brothers were on there.
Yeah.
Too. Like, I thought it was pretty fun.
That was fun.
And the, with the, what is that St. Louis flag?
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. That's the awesome. Different images that were on the screen there and stuff. And I love how, like, for the live show, like, how much you guys put into that, like, where, you know, as, with the, there's always this, you know, the screen, even that, when you guys play with 311, for 4th of July. And like we had all this, you know, the different screens and the
confetti cannons and
CO2
cannons and all that jazz. Well,
it's fun. Yeah, it's fun to bring all that out and just it's how it keeps getting bigger and better every time.
Well, it's fun I mean, we mostly do it because it amuses us really. Ultimately, it's like, man, wouldn't it be hilarious if we did, blah, and you know, I can't remember where. I literally can't remember where we were, but Jerry and I looked at each other and we went, confetti cans would be great. Oh, it was probably a famous Flaming Lips. Or we were talking about the Flaming Lips. But, man, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we love doing stuff like that. Hopefully one day we'll get to do, you know, even more. Who knows?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We won't have a helicopter, though. We're not going to.
Oh, man.
Alex mentioned 311, and it reminded me. I saw Steve at Steve's Hot Dogs. And I mentioned that you were coming on the show, and I asked him if he had a suggestion. And he said, he told me to ask you about being in New Orleans with 311. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah. We played, I want to say that we played Tipitina's. In fact, I'm certain that we played Tipitina's. Not the one in the quarter, but the one a little farther away. Excuse me while I back this up. And it was Stevie's, and I'm going to forget. I think it was Nick's birthday. It was Stevie and Nick's birthday, or Stevie and Essay's birthday. But I'm leaning towards Nick. And that was without a doubt. I mean, because, you know, we were, Christ, I mean, mid-20s maximum.
Yeah.
And so we rocked it at Tipitina's, and then we just absolutely went ballistic. I mean, it was the funniest. I mean, and the whole crew. I mean, it was for all 311, all Urge members, and plus our, you know, all of the crew guys and sound guys. I don't think either tour manager showed up. Oh no, that's not true, because Tony was our tour manager at the time, so T-Flow was definitely there. We just went ballistic. It was a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, literally just. We, you know, was, you're talking about 20 guys who are just not in their right mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all very gentle and fun-loving, but it was boisterous. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that you don't really get to do very much of.
Right.
You know?
No.
So, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Synergy? You know, like it was a kind of a moment where everything just happened to, I can't remember even how it went. I think it's Stevie said, hey, we're going to go out. We're going to go down to the quarter. It's my birthday. And then Nick, I think, said, oh, no shit, it's my birthday too. And we're like, cool, let's go. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that was, those guys are amazing. And, I mean, we have nothing but love for them. They did not need to support us in the way they did.
Well, you guys,
they didn't get anything out of it, you know. They liked our band.
Sure.
And so they wanted to take us out with them. So, amazing dudes.
Yeah, you guys done, like, with quite a bit of touring, and then the cruise.
Yeah, oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
We didn't get to go this year, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you have never been on the 311 cruise, and to be honest, I don't even know how you would go about doing this, because the thing sells out like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess you have to just be standing there waiting with your finger on the thing goes on sale, because otherwise...
Yeah.
But it was amazing. Like, it was amazing. That it is the biggest... It is a floating city of like-minded fucking crazy people.
Yeah.
And it's a blast.
I see the photos each and every year, and I just get more and more jealous. And
it's amazing.
The more photos I see, the more top of my bucket list that thing goes.
Oh, you should go. I mean, it is very cool. The first 311 show of the trip or whatever, with the boat was leaving the harbor, and the sun was out and everything, and it was just, you're just looking around and you go, this is fucking bananas. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And I've said it before, I mean this is a compliment, and I know that they would take it as a compliment, and when it comes out of my mouth, people go, ooh, that's not a good thing. But they're like the Grateful Dead of our generation. They have this connection and relationship with their fans that is just amazing. And numbers in the millions. It's just a huge group of people that just love that band.
Yeah,
I'm among them. You got to go on the cruise. They just need a bigger boat. Yeah. They need to be able to fit 6,000 people on it.
That's what I like too. Those I haven't done any of them personally, but it's just imagine kind of just the jam session kind of stuff. Like where if you got so many of these great musicians on a boat, like where you guys can all kind of. I mean, maybe it might not as much on that 311, but I know there's a lot of those like blues cruise kind of things, and like those guys, you know, just always somebody sitting in on a set. And
they did, if I recall correctly, they had kind of some late night things that were designed for that kind of thing. Yeah. It's like, okay, we're, you know, kind of doing open mic, or you know, we're gonna have one band set up, but we went down there, and I say we because I was absolutely hammered, so I didn't play shit, and I was like, this is a bad idea. Well, I'm not going to play anything, and maybe you shouldn't play anything, and maybe you shouldn't play anything. So, but a band, which, oh man, I think the name of the band was called Hey Monet. I hope that I'm getting that right. And they were playing in this other lounge on the boat. And, I'm sure that, it was either that or Trailer Park Ninjas, which shared some members. I mean, that's in my defense. They had like two acts on the boat. That kind of had like the same rhythm section and a different guy and that kind of thing. So it was one of those two. It was one of the several of the same people. So they're like, hey, you know, beep is playing down in the lounge. We're going to go down there and we're going to take over. You know, they said that we could come and play whatever we wanted. And I said, this is a terrible idea. We had just finished our set. I was like, this is a terrible idea. Yeah. We're like hammered. We can't go up there. We just kicked ass. Let's just leave it at that and just leave these people alone. And so we went down there and everybody's looking at me like I'm kind of a killjoy, which is, you know, not undeserved. And so me and Jerry and Carl are just kind of standing there, and Stevie and John get up on stage and they do a Stevie Wonder song with the band, and then a guy named Ndua, and I can't remember his last name, but his name is Ndua from a band called Bad Rabbits, who is, and the Bad Rabbits is awesome. Bad Rabbits is a great band. So they were singing and they did a Stevie Wonder song, and then they just kind of devolved into this music. I mean, it was like everybody was completely making stuff up on the spot. John was playing bass, kicking it. John's a very good bass player. And Steve was kind of leading the charge. Like, Steve was like conducting the band. He's like, all right, bring it down. All right, I'm going to do this. And then, you know, and then Ndua would sing a little bit and Steve would harmonize with that. And then they made up their own thing. And then, it was amazing. And if there should be a little clip of it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And that is only the very bare end of it.
Huh.
And then everybody went, you know, all right, thank you, good night. And Ndua looked at Steve and said, I don't know what just happened, but that was amazing.
Yeah.
And I know they made plans to work on music together, and I hope that happens someday, because it was like watching, like, their voices together sounded amazing too.
Man.
So that was the only one that I personally witnessed. I'm sure that it happened other places, but I did not participate, because basically after our set on any given night, I was already pretty well in the bag. So
yeah,
it's just the way it worked out. I didn't mean it.
That'll happen.
Didn't mean to do it.
Speaking of some of that stuff too, that I just another gym I kind of just discovered was the Too Much Stereo music video.
Oh yeah,
with the infomercial.
Yeah, the infomercial.
Like, I just recently found that. I didn't realize that. Like, I've seen a lot of the, you know, Brainless and Getting Hectic. I've seen a lot of those videos on YouTube and things, but I don't know if it just got reshared on the Facebook page or something like that.
Yeah, probably.
And I was like, this is incredible. Like, I laughed so hard, like, how goofy that video is, and like, and all you guys, and like, it's just, I don't know, it's a funny video if you get a chance to go see it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was way late on that, but it was like.
Do you remember Blind Date? I think that was the name of the show. You remember Blind Date?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the original plan, I think that I have this right. I want to say that I have this right. The original plan was to do like a Blind Date parody,
mm-hmm.
and Roger, what's his name, was going to introduce it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger.
There you go. And and you know, there would be a separate couple that was going on the date, and then we would play characters within the course of the evening,
mm-hmm.
Like Foo Fighters or something like that. You know, we would get to dress up in blanket costumes and all that jazz. This was for Too Much Stereo. So we were in LA, and the next day we were going to start shooting. And at some point late that afternoon or early evening, somebody from the production company for Blind Date spoke to somebody, and I want to say it was Universal Television or something like that. But anyway, they said, oh, we're doing this video tomorrow. And so, like, some suit said, no, you're not doing that because they're making fun of the show.
Huh.
It's like, we're not going to allow this to happen because it's going to make fun of our show. Oh, and we're going to have little pop-ups, you know, like they said, oh, you know, Jim thinks Tammy's kind of being a jerk or whatever, you know, like that was going to be in the video. And so they canceled the whole thing the day before we were supposed to do it.
Yeah.
And so we spent the next 4 or 5 days at least in LA talking to the record company people, trying to figure out what we were going to do now, because we're all here and we also, there's this money for a video, so what are we going to do? So that, the Too Much Stereo video was what happened out of those conversations. So the whole infomercial thing was basically kind of like, well, we kind of did an infomercial for the record on our own. Why don't we do one for the song?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to do a Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park thing, where we actually had a fight against poorly matched doppelgangers. I don't know if you've ever seen Kiss Meets Phantom of the Park. It's one of the worst, best movies of all time. But there's a big battle again in the end of the movie with Kiss versus their evil twins. The evil twins are nothing like. Like, I think Ace Frehley's evil twin is like an Asian lady. like there's not, you know, they do not match at all. So we were like, wouldn't that be hilarious? And we're going to do that. And they, you know, everybody was like, boys, do you realize how many hundreds of thousands of dollars that would cost to shoot a 3-minute video for you battling your own doppelganger? Yeah. So that is how that ended up happening. So we actually spent a week just hanging out in LA while we tried to figure out how to salvage our blind date idea, which we all thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, they said, nope, you can't do it. You're making fun of the show.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was gonna introduce it and everything.
I can't believe I pulled that Roger Lodge reference.
Yeah, nice job.
Yeah, I've never remember that guy's name.
That's amazing, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I knew it was Roger something, but
yeah. Or
watch those MTV dates more than Blind Date, those MTV dating shows. Those
are the ones I singled out and stuff.
What was it called? Dismissed. I used to watch that one a lot.
Oh, was Dismissed the one where they actually have to stand outside the house and they do the interviews over the intercom system?
It'd be like a guy and two girls, and like the girl would make up her mind who she wants.
Yeah.
Or the guy would make up his mind who he wants at the end. Be like, I'm sorry, you are dismissed, and keeps the other one.
Classy.
Yeah.
That's nice. And they say romance is dead.
Yeah.
There's also Next.
Yeah, I watched that one a lot too.
It was like, there was Bachelor, Bachelor, and then there was like the three of them. But then like, they would be on the date. They all go on the date, kind of like there would be a bus like following the other bus, and like so like they would get to the mini golf thing or something like that, and then they'd be on their date, and then all of a sudden, you know, if the girl's like, the guy would say something that she didn't agree with, or what she'd be like, next, and then like sub out for the next guy.
And they just keep following
right. I did not see that.
And then they just kept going on with the date. Like, you know, they finish their golf and they go to dinner or whatever. You know, whatever the date might have been, but it was just funny. Like, you know, as soon as you got
and you get money for like every minute you last.
Yeah, that was on that date.
Seriously.
Yeah,
it was like a dollar per minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
And then the money you get to spend on the date, theoretically, or what?
Oh, no, just
money, cash that, money in your
money
body?
That MTV gives you. Yeah, like if you got dismissed right when you got off that bus,
you get nothing.
You get $1. Okay. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, it's like two seconds equals a dollar.
It was always funny on Next, like when they would like jump off the bus and they were like, you know, hey, I'm Todd, and I'm like, you know, whatever. It was always had their little quick bio. It was just funny how they always had like. They'd always say something stupid, you know, like, you know, it was just...
Some kind of, some little tagline, like, yeah, I'm Todd, hanging out, walking on the beach,
or whatever. So cheesy.
So, yeah, it was definitely a lot of cheese on that show. It was... I was going to ask, just because it's been on my mind, but there's a couple, you like comedy movies and stuff?
Do I like comedy movies? Yeah. Like, what kind of comedy?
Well, I was going to talk about, there's a...
The Big Lebowski is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Shane's got a Big Lebowski shirt. I was just pointing it out.
The dude who buys it.
That used to be our go-to. We used to have a laptop, and we could watch movies on that in the van. And so, but we would put the get the cassette adapter and put it in the stereo, so that everybody could hear the audio. But if it was nighttime, which is when people would be most interested in watching a movie, I was usually driving. I was mostly driving over, you know, if it was late at night. And so that would all, you know, people say, okay, we're going to watch a movie, but Bill, what do you think? Because you're going to have to listen to it. And I would always go with the Big Lebowski because the dialogue is so musical. So I mean, you know, the dialogue is you can just listen to that movie. And there's a website called, it might literally be called listentoamovie.com, and it's just the audio tracks of it's the full-length audio track of movies, and you can listen to the Big Lebowski.
Movies on tape.
Yeah.
You ever hear that drinking game that you can play during the Big Lebowski? I think it's called Dude Shit Man. Or Fuck Man Dude.
Yeah.
Anytime you hear that, you gotta take a drink.
Awesome.
You should be wasted before you get halfway through.
20 minutes in.
There's another one, where you drink a White Russian and smoke a joint every time the dude does.
Oh, wow.
So,
you like to keep your mind limber.
You're going
to
be trashed out real fast.
Very strict drug regimen.
Yeah. But what I was going to ask is, like, because there's been a lot of stuff going on with Mallrats 2 announced.
Seriously?
Yeah, they're getting the old Rat Pack back together.
Good grief.
He's got,
yeah. I love Mallrats.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites, man. But it's if you follow Kevin Smith on Facebook, he's been going around, like, recruiting everybody. So, like, every couple days he posts the picture with, so he's got, like, Jason Lee putting up two, you know, and he's holding a chocolate-covered pretzel.
Nice.
That's
great.
Yeah, so there's a lot of that. It's just fun to see.
Aren't they exquisite?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best scene ever.
That's hilarious.
It's just fun that he's, like, getting the old gang back together kind of thing. So I think he's, like, he's got 10 of the 12 cast members right now or something like that. It's exciting they're all getting on board. And the other one, another sequel they just announced is Super Troopers 2.
Oh, I heard. Yeah, they're doing like a Kickstarter or something for that, right?
Yeah. They raised $2 million in one day.
Oh, I believe it.
And they met their goal. That was their goal. And they've already exceeded $2 million.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy that, like, that it's got such a fan base. Everybody's like, yeah, I want to see, you know. That,
everyone's on board.
What is the movie that that same crew did that was where they were at a resort?
That was Club Dread.
Club Dread, that's the one.
I saw Beer Fest, but...
I'm a big fan of that movie.
Beer Fest is awesome.
Beer Fest.
Club Dread, I don't know, that's got some stuff.
I thought it was hilarious.
I heard back and forth things.
There's a line I still quote that makes me laugh, where Bill Paxton, right?
Paxton or Pullman. from Club Dread.
Yeah.
That's Paxton, yeah. Bill Paxton.
There you go.
I didn't see it.
There's a scene where he's kind of like this Jimmy Buffett kind of guy, you know, like his island rocker kind of thing. And
it's definitely Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
I don't trust my own. All right, I'm gonna get on the internet. Sorry, go ahead
to the IMDb.
So he's sitting there singing a song and to the, you know, around the bonfire kind of thing at the end of the night, and somebody yells out, you know, "Hey, play Margaritaville," and he's like, "My song was Pina Colada Berg."
That's right.
I wrote years before, you know, like all stuff. Like, but anyway, that's one of my favorite.
Totally Paxton. It's gotta be Paxton.
You're right. I've seen it right here. It's Bill Paxton, Coconut Pete.
I'm starting to see Bill Pullman actually in the shirt.
Yeah,
Bill Pullman.
You can't. Did you guys ever go to avclub.com?
No. Go there.
Great site, but they had an interview with Bill Pullman, and they played Paxton or Pullman, and he actually got two wrong, or at least one wrong. He was like, "Wait, what are you talking about?" And they asked him about some, like, one of his first movies, and he goes, "Was that me?" And the guy goes, "No, that was Bill Paxton." He goes,
"It was an SNL bit." Now I can't think of the guys. Both of them Dylan Maroney or whatever.
It's Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dylan. Shit.
Yeah, whatever.
I know, the other guy.
Yeah.
Dermot Mulroney, Dylan
McDermott or something?
That's it. Yeah. Dylan McDermott. Nice. Yeah. Dylan McDermott, Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah, so those guys' names. It was a great SNL, like, game show, like, that did, like, that, where they had, like, both of the guys in the skit, and that was pretty fun.
That's funny.
Yeah, those two names are very similar, too.
Did you see Clerks 2?
I've seen Clerks 2.
My favorite Jane Bond movie.
Yeah,
you like it?
My favorite Jane Bond movie. Fantastic.
It's really tough to, like, you know, compared to all the other Kevin Smith stuff, like, it wasn't as good for me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, compared to, like, Mallrats and I Love Dogma.
Dogma is one of his. I would put that in my top 20, I think, easily.
Even Jay
I love that movie.
Even Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is really funny to me.
I love Clerks to Death so much. Yeah. I made my own little 45-minute short of it back in my senior year of high school. Yeah, I mean, me and my brother, we knew Dante and Randall so well, we just recite those lines back and forth to each other because it was such amazing dialogue. Yeah. So we got our high school.
This is radio. I was doing the
Randall. He was doing the Randall strut.
Just in case.
But yeah, we were just doing a couple scenes here. I put my video camera in black and white. We used our kitchen as, like, a counter with the cash register.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then next thing I know, all my high school friends, like, line up, like, "I want to be a part in your movie." So then we ended up making our own little 45-minute short of it. It was edited very terribly, but it was just a lot of fun.
Well, so was Clerks.
Yeah, exactly.
Authenticity.
Yeah.
There's another sequel just announced also was Zoolander 2.
I laugh so hard at the Wham when they're doing Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go and they're spraying each other with gasoline. I died laughing during that scene. That's the only thing I can remember about that. I
couldn't get into it.
Regardless of how you ever you feel, I feel like this is one of the most genius movie announcements. Because they actually dressed in character and they went to the Paris fashion show.
Seriously.
And they came out on stage as Derek Zoolander and
Hansel?
Hansel, yeah.
No kidding. He's so hot right now.
they came out in their full outfits and they walked the runway and
That's funny.
Yeah, it was so great and the fact that they kept it all hush, that nobody spoiled it on the internet and that was the big reveal, was them showing up there and they hyped it up like that they were the real models showed up and everything and.
That's great.
But yeah, I saw Stiller on Conan the other night, and he said something about that it was pretty genius to do a sequel of a movie, 15 years later that nobody cared about in the first place.
You can't say nobody.
Well, for his movies, that's definitely not, it's not one of his biggest blockbuster ones or nothing, but
it's got its own let's take, the Fokker movies out of the equation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then what?
Yeah. I mean, Tropic Thunder,
Tropic Thunder.
It's a great...
One of my favorite movies.
Was it Watch His, too? The one with Vince Vaughn and Jonah Hill?
Neighborhood Watch?
Yeah. Yeah, I forget. That was actually pretty good. I love that one.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Oh, Watch was good.
It's a good cast. There was some good dialogue, but the movie, it's not like... I mean, there's it's not like a great story. It's like they fight aliens, kind of thing. There's some pretty funny dialogue between Jonah Hill and Vince Vaughn. And, I mean, you get Vince Vaughn in the movie, he's some of the stuff he rattles off is always pretty good stuff.
Yeah, but Vince Vaughn fans is old school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I went back in time and I didn't see Swingers. Swingers were made until after Old School, but I'm like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the shit right here.
So, well, we'll wrap this up, man. I appreciate you hanging out.
Thanks. It was fun.
It's a pleasure.
You want to throw a track on from Galvanize or something?
Ooh, yeah.
What do you got, a favorite one?
Or? Yes. Let me think about this. Oh, man, that's a tough one. That is really tough. Well, let's do Hollywood Ending.
Okay.
That's a good jam.
All right, we'll stick around after the show for Hollywood Ending if you haven't heard it, and pick up a copy of Galvanized. I'm sure...
you can do that at theurge.net if you're so inclined.
There you go. There's your... and then if you're looking for a nerd show, like I said earlier, May 8th, Springfield, Missouri, May 9th, Lawrence, Kansas. Nerd is hitting the road, coming at you. Anyway, thanks again, Bill.
Yeah,
appreciate you hanging out, man. And that's it. That's a wrap.
See ya.
Play that motherfucking nerd shit. Good night.
Favorite We drove all night with no place to go. I had enough cash to see the show. Just me and my baby out on the road, on the road.